Being original, understanding that I'm unique, I have a unique tafkid in the world, and that my Yiddishkeit needs to be authentic, which means it has to be for me, personal. Not because of because that's what my father did and that's what he said, but because I have a personal relationship. Not because I have some sense of a tradition. Not that that's bad, you need that as well. I'm not saying. The Kel Aviv is important as well, but that's not what's connecting you in a real, meaningful way to Hashem. And that's not what's allowing you to reveal and megala the Tzelem Elokim which you have, which is your own unique relationship with Hashem. So we said we'll bring a marshal here. I think it's from the Dubno Magid, I could be mistaken, I don't know, but it's a Moedi commercial. He brings it down here, Bushem. He said that Amaram Shapira also said, Milublin used to use this marshal. But I think he brings it down, Bushem, the Dubno Magid. So what's the marshal? Hitzig is Siyere Betaruchel Samonim. There was a painter, very Mishuchlal, a very, very talented artist. So, his paintings were mamash, look real. Nirabo Adam, Hanoises Salperas, what was in this particular painting? There was a man, and on his head he was carrying a basket of fruit. Adam Vaperas, Hanirim Kol Mukhshim, Achakol Mavakri Ataruchi Palumod. Everybody that came to the exhibition was mamash blown away. The mamash, the painting, the man, his basket of food, mamash looked real. Hatzio yanira kochai ashiyagir tziporim v'nisul nakeres apeiros atziurim. I think it's a Dubno Magid's marshal. He says, yeah, that Rumei Shapira used to bring it all the time. Rumei Shochma, one day let's say I also brought it all the time, because I also bring it all the time. So. I also brought it. Take out the earlier sherim, you'll see we've done this before. Okay, so it was so authentic, so it looked so real, that the birds came to try and eat the fruit. So Mavakri HaTarucha, Hitlavu V'omru, wow, Gamat Zipreinu B'chinas Sharak Tzio Lifnei. Even the birds can't tell the difference in this painting and the reality. They're so well painted, the birds think that this fruit is fitting to be eaten. When the artist heard this, he fainted. Afterwards, he explained what he was so upset about. If birds can come this close to my painting, then that's not the painting I had in mind. It must be that the man doesn't look real enough. If the man looked real, the way I wanted him to be, the birds wouldn't come near the fruit. If there's a man standing next to a bowl of fruit, the birds don't come near there because they're scared of the man. If the birds are coming to eat from the fruit, that means I haven't painted the man properly.
That was the
Dubno Magid. Rabbi Shapira, the Meshes Chochma, Rabbi Yotab, Rabbi Chasher, whoever. The Makor Mestom of the story is the Dubno Magid. Kach Gama Adam.
If a person is standing still, perfectly still, eventually the birds will come to the bowl of fruit. They won't be afraid. It's only when the man's moving.
This is a marshal.
I know, but isn't it better to learn a better marshal that as long as we're standing still in life, we've always got to keep moving?
You can learn that out from this marshal if you want. I don't have a problem with that. It's a marshal. Do what you want with it. I'm happy if you want to learn that out. You have to know. Sometimes we stand still, sometimes we have to move. Learn that out from Halal on Sukkos. Sometimes a person has to stand still. You're out. Kach gama Adam. Im agoyim elu mutrodim mekudushose shel haYehudi. If the goyim aren't bothered by the kedusha of a yid, alav liyos mutrad mikach ulechapeses asiba shegaom lekach sheinu nira kiyudi mushlam vekodesh bein agoyim. If the goyim aren't bothered by us and they're not worried, we have to find out why we're not looking authentic. Tafkideinu leis kozoyis uleshuv leis echius. Shayisalanu Bavo. Our Tavkid, this is Lamaisa the Void of Hanukkah. It's more timely this. As we move into Kislev and Tavis, the dark months, the vote is renewal. We have to go back and we have to renew our Yiddishkeit to make it authentic, to make it real. We have to go find the living waters. It's a yichidiyos shelanu, a uniqueness that we have. Lachzor v'lazrim ma'im chayim b'toroseinu mitzvoseinu, to pour new water, to light a new light onto our Torah and our mitzvahs. That's the vort of teitzeh regel min hashuk. What's pshat teitzeh regel min hashuk? Why do you have to light candles? Achi teitzeh regel min hashuk. The Chiddush HaRim says teitzeh regel min hashuk. Regel is regilus. The English word regular comes from that word, regilus. We become very wrongly in what we do. We don't appreciate it. Like I mentioned yesterday, you walked out of shul this morning, a billionaire, and no one feels it. You put on tefillin this morning. People put on tefillin this morning. I can still prove it. Refine Waxman tells a maisa, it's a moidika maisa about his shwe. His shwe was on his last legs. So they flew to London to go visit him. And he was semi-conscious. He didn't really know who anybody was. He didn't know what was going on. Pitom Erev Shabbos, he wakes up. Oh, Shalom Aleichem, Refine, when did you get here? What are you doing here? And completely conscious. This happens often. So his son was there. He said, bring his tefillin quickly. And let him chaprav. It's almost Shabbos before Shkel. Let him put on his Erev Shabbos. Let him put on tefillin quickly. The man mamash got up, put on tefillin, said Shema Yisrael, lay down. Shabbos he fell into a coma and he never woke up. But on Motzei Shabbos was Yitzias Nesham. So he told this story over to Choshev Talmud Chochem. He doesn't mention who. And the guy was mamash mispoil. The person was Zoicha just before he died to Makai Mitzis. Tefillin, Shema Yisrael. What a way to go. Unbelievable. Waxman said this guy phoned him the next day and said, you know what, it just toffest me. I put on tefillin today as well. We hear about a guy who's just about to die and he put on tefillin and he chapped the last mitzvah of tefillin. Wow, he's a moyedik. What a moyedik kazaki. Put on tefillin. And me, I put on tefillin today. So what? We don't stop and think what we do. We don't appreciate what we do. Achetetze regel min ashuk. Why do we have regilis? Because we caught up in the shuk. We're not living ruchnistic lives, we're living shuk lives. As you have to light that menorah and shine a light on what we're doing and examine what we're doing very carefully until all the regilis goes out of your shuk. Until there's no more regilis. We're not doing things habitually, we're doing things because it's fresh, it's kachadosha. That's Chanukah. Chanukah sabayis, renewal, rededication. That's exactly what this is, that's exactly what we're talking about. When a person takes on his Yiddishkeit with love, with bechira, he's putting on tefillin today, not because he put on tefillin yesterday. He's putting on tefillin today because he's making a bechira decision today to put on tefillin. Put on tefillin. When your brocha on tefillin sounds like your brocha on Kir Shefer, then you know you've arrived at what I'm talking about. The first night of Sfiras Ayin, what does your brocha look like? And the last night, what does your brocha look like? And in between, what does your Sfira Soma look like? No. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 15, 16. My kachpo. What rocha? What is that? No, we become it's a teva, that's who we are. Hergel Nasa Teva, we have to fight that. That's Taitsa Rigal Minashuk. We have to get rid of that regilis. So then all the nisoinis that come about, you accept with bechira as well. Then you have the koiches to accept the negative things, the bad things, so to speak, that come upon us with simcha va'ava, knowing that's also the best thing for us. One of the ways that can really help us to feel this relationship with our Yiddishkeit real that'll enable us to bind ourselves more and more to Hashem. He al yedei kach shemishnah latzmeinu heshkem ve'erev shmeyoyim shebora Hashem Elokim odam al haaretz lo chai adam shehai lo tavki doime l'sheli, is to continually remind yourself that from Adam HaRishon until Mashiach comes, there's never going to be anybody in this earth, out of all the billions and billions of people that Hashem created, that can do what I'm in the world to do. First of all, it's true. It's not just a shtick and a trick, but it's to keep reminding yourself. There's nobody in this world ever that is ever going to be able to do what I came into this world to do, because I'm unique. Ani kaviyachol kolosei shel Hashem yisparach v'yesh li ito kaviyachol dvarim shebetzina. I'm, so to speak, the bride of Hashem, and therefore I have this chedi yichud with Hashem, where I have personal, private business with Hashem. Dvarim sha'isim lo yodei shum nivra v'olam. No one else knows about it. Rak ani v'kodesh baruch hu yesh li tafkid shirach ani yoichel asoysa. I have a unique tafkid that only I can do, and it's between me and Hashem. It's got nothing to do with anybody else. It's not to shul anybody else. This is my personal relationship, my personal yichud, chedi yichud with Hashem. If we would feel that even just once a month, we'd be on a different target, different planet. להגיד גדולוסי של מלך מלכם לכולם מלוכים הקודש ברוך הוא שאדם תובע כמה מטבעות וחי שמחות. A person prints many coins with one stamp. כולם דויים זה לזה. Each one the same as the next one. A person makes coins, they all look the same. But the Kodesh Baruch Hu toba kol adam b'choismo shel adam arishon. Hashem makes everybody look like Adam HaRishon. Everybody's made with the same chasim of Adam HaRishon. V'ein echa doyme l'chaveir. And not one similar to the next. V'lefikach tzarich kol adam lo'yme b'shvili nivra olam. And therefore everybody has to say, b'shvili nivra olam. It's a yalkut shmoy nidus. K'shem shepatzu fe'em mishtanus kach de'osem mishtanus. If you think about it, you can go out of your mind. You can go mad from thinking about it. Everybody has the same face. Everyone has the same face, the same forehead, two eyes, ears, two nose, a mouth, a chin, and it all works the same, and you will never find two people with the same face. A rare case of identical twins. And by the way, it's not just in humans. In animals, it's the same as well. I'm saying maybe, whatever, you have to see. No, but they're your same law. Anybody who has twins knows that their personalities are ridiculously different. Yeah. But they can be genetically identical. No, I'm saying you'll find differences. But I'm saying, all right, forget about the twins. Forget about the twins, you're right. There's no exceptions to the rule. You said it? Okay. I'm just saying, you find a rare instances where you look at two people and their mamas look the same. Okay, you said it. You'll find a subtle difference. He'll have a little beauty spot here. Yeah, you said it. You're right. Just wanted to make it a bit more. It's an unbelievable thing. And I'm telling you, it's not just in the human world. I knew a horse trainer. He had 150 horses in his stable. And he knew everyone by their looks. They look different. He said, their faces. Anybody knows. Anybody who's worked with animals or whatever, no, they don't look the same. Their faces are different. I'm not talking about every insect in the world. I don't know, I've never practiced on cockroaches. They usually don't live long enough around me for me to study their faces. But in the animal world, dogs, cats, whatever, look, you'll see their faces are different. They're not the same. But certainly humans, even Chinese, they all look the same to us, but I promise you they don't look the same to the Chinese. They're all different. K'shem shepatzu fe'em mishtanois, kach de'osam mishtanois. So why do we demand that everybody's the same? Do you know how differentiation is woven into the fabric of the Bria? Why do you need billions of different species of insects? Like two or three must speak. Do you know any different colors of green there are? Just go up here on the road to Turadasiya, okay, the forest there. Just have a look and see how many different greens there are. Make one green, two greens. How many greens do you need in the world? There are dozens of different shades of green. So why do we feel we have to be like everybody else? Look at the world. Why do we think we have to bring up our children so they're like everybody else? L'kol Yehudi yesh chosim v'defus miyuchad. Each person has his own sign and his own print, his own stamp. U'lechein b'avadoysa aruchnis alev lehadibir es chosim shelo. Therefore, he's got to, in his spiritual void, he's got to bring his unique stamp. V'lo li'ishtamesh b'chosim v'shalachayri. And not to use other people's signs and stamps. Shekein chaytemet shalachayrim legabe didrei mezuyefesi. It's forgery. It's forgery. Using somebody else's tafkid in the word, copying somebody else. It's forgery. Chaytemet sha'enu shalcha gamim kabonus oisei b'yerusha metzadik elyoy. A stamp that you got from somebody else, even if you inherited from the biggest tzaddik in the world, sof sof, einu shalcha, it's not yours. It's not your tafkid. L'chaim in tachtom bo al shtaris akadayim is yefesi. If you use it, it's your forgery. It's forgery. Lo trayel tzidkosoi o chasidosu shel ba'al achotemet la'achshir es hashtar shereim is yefesi. The fact that you got this signature from the tzaddik, the biggest chosid in the world, lo mashana, when you use his signature, it's forgery. Kamo kain bavadoseinu es boreinu lo dai lo ladem shistapik b'mashi idbiyu bo avoysov v'raboysov. Avadi, you have to start with what you got from your parents and your rabbein. Avadi, you have to start with that. There's nowhere else to start. But it's not enough. Chayv hu ladbir es achoytem es ha'ishi shelo b'kol ma'alach avadoysov. He has to put his own unique print and stamp onto all the avoided that he does. There's a beautiful maisa by the Satmar Rebbe. It was a chasana once. It was a batchen. I don't know in America. I'm not too clued up with the world. There was a famous batchen in Satmar, and he used to imitate the Satmar Rebbe. Mama's perfect. Simchas chosin v'kala. So he went. He wanted to imitate the Satmar Rebbe. He said on Hashanah Rabbah. He wanted to do an imitation of the Satmar Rebbe on Hashanah Rabbah. So the Satmar Rebbe was at the chasana. So he went to ask him for permission to imitate him. So the Satmar Rebbe said chosin v'kala. Do whatever you need to. So he started imitating the Satmar Rebbe with the Bechi and the crying, the Shana Rabbi, the Satmar Rebbe and the Shana Rabbi. And he notices out of the corner of his eye, the Satmar Rebbe sitting there crying. He was devastated. Mamish, he thought he'd insulted the Satmar Rebbe. He was mamish. Afterwards, he went up to him and said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. I was just, you know, it was close. He said, no, there's nothing to do. He said, I noticed how well you were imitating me. It suddenly dawned on me that I imitate myself very well as well. That my whole life is one big imitation. It's not real, it's not authentic, it's not me. The Bala Tanya, Hayedid Nurim B'Shem Rebbe Chayka. Bala Tanya had a friend called Rebbe Chayka. Hamayudidim, Achayushoinim B'Dach Avodoysam B'Tachris. They were very close, but their approach to their avoider was very different. You find that, by the way. The greater people become in Torah, the more different they become. You would think that the opposite. It's very counterintuitive. You would think the more people keep Torah and therefore following the same rules and following the same diktuk halachas in every aspect, the more they would look the same. And yet you see by Gedolei Yisrael the exact opposite. They can be mamash close, yedidim, they can be the mamash, avashenu tolu b'dovei echad v'sheni, and they're totally different. I heard from Shraga Kotler, that's Rav Shneur's son, Rav Aaron's grandson. He told me that he heard from his father when the Satmar Rebbe used to come to Rav Aaron. They used to have meetings often. They were involved in Klal Yisrael often, and they disagreed on many things. He said the shouting and screaming between them used to lift the roof off the house. They disagreed on major things. Rav Aaron was a firebrand. The Satmar Rebbe was a firebrand. And that Klal Yisrael, that Kulu Klal Yisrael was sitting on their shoulders. He said they got into heated arguments. And as the Satmar Rebbe was about to leave, Rav Aaron used to lock the door and say, you're not leaving yet till you give everyone my kids a bracha. They loved each other. Rav Aaron was masked with the Satmar Rebbe. There was no. They disagreed on many things. There was machleikasim. There was Rav Aaron and Moshe couldn't talk to each other in learning. I've heard people that were there. Rav Aaron and Moshe couldn't talk in learning. As Rav Aaron would start saying something, Moshe said, "You can't say such a thing. It's crazy. Where do you bring me a raya? Where's the four? Whatever." Rav Aaron would say, "What are you talking about? You're so straight. You have to think." They couldn't talk in learning to each other. Full of it, yeah. Okay, I'm just trying to bring that's more real for us. The Beis Yosef and the Arizal, when they used to learn Kabbalah together, the Beis Yosef used to fall asleep. He used to fall asleep. Can you imagine the opportunity to learn Kabbalah with Arizal and you fall asleep? Then the Shamas just couldn't connect. They just couldn't talk to each other. It's an amazing thing. So he had this chaver, the Baal Tanya had this chaver, Rabbi Chaika, and they were very, very different. Rav Berkowitz told me there were two of the Mira Rosh Yeshivas, I can't remember who it was, Rav Nochem and one other, whatever, Rav Zocher, had totally different approaches to learning. The one held Yavosh State on the daf, and what Rashi says somewhere else is irrelevant. When I get there, I'll get there. You know, almost like a brisker approach. Yeah, but Rashi over there says something different. But I'm not learning Rashi then. I'm learning Rashi here. When you get there, you learn Rashi there. And I think Rav Nochem was all over the place. He would bring from Yan, whatever. They managed to learn 8 hours a day with Chavrusot together every day. Two completely different Mahalchim in Torah. And yet they managed to learn together Torah. Why not? What's the problem? Two Jews get together to try and understand what the truth is. Mabaya, learn together. You got your approach, I got my approach. So we'll learn your approaches. What's the problem? Anyway. Once I asked one of my rabbeim, how do you know when to split chavrusas? How do you know to go take two chavrusas? Tell them, listen, I don't think you guys should be learning together anymore. They come fetch to you that they don't want to learn anymore. He said, when they're learning well together and they still want to separate, then you can separate them. I said, what do you mean? They're not learning well together, they just want to separate. He said, there's no such thing as two Jews who can't learn Torah together. No such thing. I'm not talking about sometimes where he can barely, this guy's already holding in the, you know, in Rav Osher's Chabura. I'm not talking about that. Although even then you can learn together. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz used to learn with kids. Rav Nosson Tzvi had a Chavrusa with an 8-year-old every day for half an hour. You can learn with anybody. But when they're learning well together and they still don't want to learn together, then you can tell them to split. But until they're learning well together, it means they haven't learned B'Chavrusa yet. Let them go learn how to learn B'Chavrusa properly. If you want to know what I'm talking about, come see me afterwards. How you do that. Balatanya ala kula moyach, machshava v'izboinenus. The Balatanya was completely seichel, depth, his boinenus. V'amoyach edur shalit ala leiv. And as we know that the mind rules over the heart. V'ilu yedidu rebcheike ala kula leiv. Rebcheike was kula leiv. Kol tfilosof hayo eish lahava. His tfilah was like a burning a bonfire. Shefech hayas libo kamayim b'tfilosof b'goshes v'ispailus. He was a spailus, emotional person. Kol echad hinchil la'talmido v'acharav v'seid avodosof. And each one gave over to his talmidim. Obviously, you influence your talmidim. Talmidei HaRebbe Balatanya yeshvu sha'as aruchos mitoch hizboinenus b'machshava. The Balatanya's talmidim would sit for hours in deep thought, machshava, meditation. Ad she'apoyzchem es p'em b'tfilah, before they would open their mouths and daven. Could be why the Lubavitchers daven so late. Gam tfilosam ha'yisa shkula. Their tfilahs were measured, meduda, exact, no words wasted. Thought out, carefully, well-planned tfilahs. They would daven with fire and burning and emotion in Islavus. They came to complain to the Balatanya. According to the way you taught us, before I can open my mouth and daven, I've got to prepare myself for hours. Reb Chaika's Talmidim, they don't do any preparation, whatever. They open the siddur and they're suddenly bursting with emotion and fire. Hey, Shiv lo Abalatanya. Listen carefully. Oysa Talmud Ainu Boy but philosopher. Rabbi Chaika Ba Bakir Boy. He's not burning with his tefillah. He's just got Rab Chaika inside of him and he's burning with Rab Chaika, but he's not davening. At Atzmai who dined Lomotza himself, he hasn't found yet. He's just doing what Rab Chaika did. But he himself, he's not involved. It's not enough what you got from your rabbeim and from your fathers. Person has to imprint his own unique stamp on his Yiddishkeit. But philosopher calls Seder Nogoso, whether it's Torah, Tefillah, whatever else he's doing. I mentioned this many times in Machshava, but in psychology as well. The three Ikka stages of human development. And the one that gets damaged the most is the middle one. The first one is Gomel Alai Imoy, where a person is totally dependent on something, his mother, his father, and he builds a deep sense subconsciously of being able to trust. Gomel Alai Imoy. He trusts his mother, his complete trust. He knows without that he's dead. He doesn't know there's a bigger world. Slowly, slowly, he starts recognizing that there's a bigger world around him and has to go and discover his unique place in that world. That's the teenage years, where he's got to go find himself. Not be like you or be like somebody else. You can't tell him anything, you can't teach him anything. He's supposed to be like that. He's supposed to be completely independent. And then take that independence with that basis, that foundation of Imuna and Betochen, and give that to Hashem. Kegomel Alai Imoy. His relationship with Hashem has to be based on the fact that he knows who he is. If you go straight from Gomel Alai Imoy to Kegomel Alai Imoy, you get a big baby, that's all. You have somebody who's completely dependent on his mother, and you get somebody who's completely dependent on Hashem, but he doesn't exist. There's nothing there of him. If you leave out this middle stage of you, Zek Kaili, my own personal me, who am I? So there's something's gone wrong here. If you know people like this, you see it looks very weird. There's nothing on themselves. They're just either imitating somebody else or they're just going through the motions. They haven't found out who they are yet. The stages from the mitzvah to chuppah are critically important. And we know having children like that growing up in us is not so simple to give them that space and still look after them and protect them, and because teenagers think they can do anything. They've got chemicals inside their body that make them think they can do anything. And sometimes for a parent that can be quite scary, but you have to give your kids the space to become themselves. And if you didn't do it when you were a teenager, do it now. You know, if you never got Shana Shreina right, do it now. If you never got your Bar Mitzvah right, do it now. Don't wait. But if you haven't found out who you are, you don't know who you are, go discover who you are, because there's no one more important to get to know than yourself. If you don't know who you are, then how are you going to know anything? And who are you giving to Hashem? No, me, but you don't know who you are. You've just gone from being a baby dependent on your mother to being a baby dependent on Hashem. But where are you? Where's your unique contribution? That you have to discover who you are. And that often gets misnach. The other stages get messed up as well. I'm not talking about that. That's not avoiding it. But this middle stage very often gets messed up. Especially if they're in the school system, they're trying to produce clones. They grow up being very, very cloned. And I finished on time, which is quite rare as well. They saw what they saw their Rebbe doing, and they were doing the same. But he'd never taken time out to discuss it. Should I be davening like that? If you tell me it was a show, I don't mean, if you mean a show, meaning they were showing off for other people, I don't know if that's what they were doing. They saw their Rebbe davening, that's how they thought they should daven, and that's how they davened. Even at a deeper level. Not Dafka, just a superficial, the body doing its stuff. Even in the fire of the tefillah they were davening, but it wasn't them. It wasn't authentic. It was just Kopebi. It's hard for us to know exactly, because it's hard for us to understand what the Talmidei of the Baalei Tanya looked like, and to understand Reb Chaim Volozhin's Talmidei, so it's very hard to know. I'm sure there were Talmidim in Nevada that were more suited to the Slobodka Derek, and there were Slobodka Talmidim that were more suited to the Nevada Derek. Did they go find out? Did they go discover themselves? Reb Simcha learnt in both, you know that. Reb Simcha was in Nevada, he married a Nevada. He married the Rav of Nevada's daughter, and he learnt in Slobodka. He learned in Slobodka. I'm just saying, there were those that were able to discover themselves, use everything, and build yourself unique. There were others that were, that's my Schmidt, that's my Ma'alach, Wazel. That's why they could never change. You see, Gadol Yisrael can bring new things into the world. They can make changes. They're often called rebels. The Rambam was a total rebel. How was he able to bring such... And all the generations, the Chofetz Chaim, we don't realize what a revolutionary the Chofetz Chaim was. Look at Gadol Yisrael. That's why they were so often opposed. Look at Reb Aaron Lane was a radical revolutionary. People don't realize what he brought to the yeshiva world, what he gave us through his unique kistaklut on what the times needed. We can't relate to that because we just know what we know from the last generation. We're copying what we're doing. We just carry on doing the same thing. And somebody comes to change that and you think it's apicosis, whatever. We don't realize that they have their own unique histakut. The Burkhards once gave a shiur on the three leading Rosh Yeshivas in the Kiruv world. It was Rav Mendel Weinbach Zatzal, there was Rav Noach Weinberg Zatzal, and there was Rav Rosenberg, Mochen Shlomo. So all basically started together. They were all together, they were all working together, and they split into three completely different moistures with three completely different visions. And the question was, why can't they just work together? You can have three different types of Talmidim, and whoever fits your schnitt will do your thing, whoever does your schnitt will do your thing. From mental health, people have got to learn. The Baltzu's got to sit and learn. If he doesn't learn, how's he going to rebuild himself? From Noach held, there's a war ganger out there. You've got to go out there and save Klal Yisrael from the ovens of Auschwitz. And with Rosenberg held, if people are going to not learn and they're not going to work, who's going to support all of this? You need people who are B'nai Torah that can also work. So here you have three different Mahalchim, totally different Mahalchim. The question was, is why couldn't they just have one yeshiva? And a guy who's more suited to learning and working, send him to work. Someone who's more kid to kiruv, send him to kiruv. Someone who's going to sit and learn, let him sit and learn. Mabaya, Klal Yisrael needs everything. That was the question. Berkowitz gave a whole shiur on this. The bottom line is, I'm not going to the whole thing and get the shiur. It's a moedika shiur. The bottom line was is he couldn't be goyres the other guy's shitter. He held the other guy's shitter was a churban. If I can goyres your shitter, that means my shitter is also negotiable. For Rav Noach, there was no negotiating. People were being thrown into the ovens of Auschwitz. That's how you saw every intermarriage. There's no time for anything else. That's a churban. Taking time out to sit and learn all day and to go work, whatever, for him was a churban. There's no time for that. You go out there and your mama save lives. When you're dragging bodies out of the gas chambers of Auschwitz, you're not thinking about your potato farm where you're going to go farm. Or thinking about learning. You haven't got time for that now. It's pekuach nefesh. I said to him, something in Hilchus Kiruv wasn't right. Oh, see, I once challenged him with something in Hilchus Kiruv. He said to me, you're right, but I'm not doing Kiruv. I'm involved in Atzolos Nefoshes. The rules are different. Now, you have to see that you can't be greater than the guy's shitter. Rav Mendel held, if people aren't going to sit and learn, it's a churban. Guys are going to go and start doing Kiruv when they just become from themselves. They won't do Kiruv properly. What's going to be with Torah? Who's going to learn? You need people to sit and learn. When they're 50, 60, they'll go and do Kiruv. The Chofetz Chaim also only went out and did Kiruv when he was 60, 70. Had he gone out earlier, we would never have Chofetz Chaim. What would have been then? They each had their shit, and it wasn't like, oh, we worked together. They were so individual, they were so fiery individual, and Klal Yisrael Vaisters needed all of them, because alright, we have all three different approaches today. But they couldn't work together, because your approach is a churban. And Rebecca would tell you, if you don't have that, it's very hard to be a leader. If you're always prepared to just work with everybody else and everything's going to be fine or whatever, it's very, and that's a dangerous thing to say, because what about Achdus? What about, they loved each other, there was no whatever, but I can't do what you want, because what you're doing is it doesn't make sense to me. Anyway, you will also do the shiur, listen to the shiur. I'm not trying to do justice to the shiur, but we have to know that sometimes. In order to get somewhere in life, you have to mamish know that this is your unique tafkid, this is your thing in the world, and no one else is going to do it. I don't care if everyone says I'm wrong. They can't know that I'm right because this is my unique Cheder Yichud, and no one knows what's going on in my Cheder Yichud, so I have to do this. Just have to make sure that you're right, but otherwise it gets ugly.
They obviously didn't hold each other strong enough to say, don't go there, stay in this place.
They did.
Yeah?
Yeah, they did. They did.
They did?
They did.
The Chofetz Chaim says he's got his famous marshal of the army. You know, yeah. The Chofetz Chaim army, there are cavalry, there's the air force, there's the ships.